All right, how are you guys doing this morning? Thanks, Kyle.
I'm doing great, Josh.
Awesome. So we're going to have the offering come around. Thank you to Trey, Kapitu, and Kyle for doing that, even though they're not in the mosh pit. Still appreciate that. So before we start, I wanted to read something. I didn't really plan on reading this, but I think it needs to be said. So this is from John chapter 3. I'm sure you all know it, but it's laying heavy on my heart today that there are people that don't know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So if there's anyone here today who feels threatened by the presence of God today, like, it's not, he's not here to condemn you. The church is not a place where we shame people. This is a place, this is a hospital for sinners. This is a place where you come, you fall at the feet of Jesus so that his blood might cover you. We just sang that God tore the veil through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here to do today. We're here to celebrate that. So feel welcome here today. All right. I'm going to have you guys pray with me real quick. God, we're so thankful for you and your love and your Son. And I could keep naming things I'm thankful for, God, but I wouldn't have time. I'd take up a whole sermon, God. I'm so thankful that I even get to stand here today. And God, I know that your will be done. And I pray for everyone here, God, that their hearts would be open and that they would feel your presence. It says in your word, God, if two or more are gathered in my name, my spirit is among them. And God, I pray that that would be felt here today. God, I pray that you would tell people today through their hearts that following you is not about building up walls, it's about breaking them down. God, I pray that people would be in tune with what you have for them today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so when I was thinking about this sermon, it went through a lot of iterations because I wanted to put everything in my sermon. I wanted to make it the coolest sermon ever because we're the first new one at weekend. I mean, Lake's coming up, Green's coming up. They're icing my players. Like, we're stacked, man. Like this is like, have you seen our color scheme? Like, I was a bit intimidated. So, like, I wanted to make this sermon the coolest. Like, I wanted to make this something that encapsulates everything I believe about Jesus, and I wanted to make it amazing. I wanted to make it amazing. And ideas kept coming to me, but they never really formed into anything. I'd read the Bible, you know, at the end of the day, and I'd say, oh, I'm putting that in my sermon. I had a note on my phone. It was just random notes for sermon. I'll pick them out, the best ones, you know, I'll put into a sermon. And it was like literally like I was like scrolling for like 5 minutes to get to the bottom. I was like, after a while, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just retcon all of this and start over. So, but it was hard. It was hard to focus my thoughts into something that was so direct and so impactful to a lot of people, or had the potential to be at least. And eventually, I had to come to the realization that like these are not my words. I'm literally reading God's word in front of you. And to think that my words are going to be the ones that are going to change somebody's lives is foolish. I don't have that power, and I'm not given that power because it's mine. God empowers me, and he's empowered everybody that came up on stage today that helped hang up the streamers here. He's given us this day and every Sunday to come to church. So we're here because he lets us and because he has this adventure set out for us. So eventually, because of that, I came to Luke 18. If you want to turn with me, Luke 18, verses 18 through 27. I'm sure you've heard this story before in the Bible. It is It's the story of the rich man, and Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I know it's a bit of a yawn if you've heard it like 50 million times, but stay with me. I'm going to try my best. So we'll just start out reading the whole thing. And the ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad because he was extremely rich. And Jesus, seeing that he became sad, he said, how difficult it is for those with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Or what is impossible with man? I already messed up. Whatever. So that quote, verse 27, is probably one of the most famous passages in the New Testament for good reason. And I found myself using it a lot out of context before I had read this. Somebody said to me a couple weeks ago, before you use a Bible verse like chapter 18, verse 27 in Luke, make sure you know what Jesus is talking about. Context is probably the most powerful thing in the Bible, and probably the thing that drives most people away is a lack of context, because they isolate certain sources from the Bible, and they don't get the big story, because that's what it is a big God story, for those of you who help out in special needs, you know what I'm talking about. So this is an interesting story just because of the character of the ruler. He says, good teacher, he comes up to him, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Already, I think this is kind of a red flag. He comes up to Jesus, literally the Son of God, and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I get that stuff, you know? I don't know about you. This guy seems like an idiot, right? Like, you're going up to Jesus, and you're saying, what can I do? What feats do I have to accomplish so that I can get this gift? So already we see his philosophy is backwards. You know, eternal life, you know, Jesus says it's a byproduct of spending eternity with God, yes. But it's given to us because of the love that we have for God and because, more importantly, God loves us. He comes up to Jesus and he says, what can I do to inherit this eternal life? And I call this chapter is like the classic Jesus. He does this every time. He plays into it a little bit. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. So he plays into a little bit. I mean, I think you can see the 180 coming. He says, you know the commandments. What don't you know? And I think that Jesus, to me, it's amazing that somebody could come up to Jesus and ask him, what can I do? And Jesus just not immediately get out the cat of nine tails again like he did in the marketplace. And like, he has more patience than me, man. So after this, he says, all of these I have kept from my youth. Second red flag, you're a liar already. So I got to cool down. Jesus said this to him in his infinite grace, wisdom, and understanding. He says, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So the 180 I said, I saw it coming earlier, whammo. It's beautiful. Classic Jesus. Jesus sees that this guy is full of pride, and he thinks that he can get to heaven and be receiving the gift of eternal life by his own feats, as if he's good. And that's the reason I related to this story so much, is because he thinks that he's good and he has power to accomplish something on his own accord. And that hit me, that part of our walk with Christ is pride becoming humility. That might be the hardest thing for any Christian to swallow, because it comes in so many forms and it's so sneaky. Pride is something that's built into our DNA, especially in America. I mean, our image is so important to us. Pride is something that we live on, we flourish in. And to give it up, to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I am a sinful man, to beat your chest and look to God and for mercy, it's something that's utterly humiliating, and it's something that's hard for me and hard for a lot of people. It still is, even this week. I was struggling with it a lot, just coming up with this sermon. That's how embedded into it I am, and all of us are. And it leaks over into my relationship with Jesus, as it has with this guy a whole lot. And when he heard these things, it says, he became very sad because he was extremely rich. And that's pretty much the reason why. Jesus is something that's going to wreck you before it builds you back up. Pride turns into humility, which turns into love. So it's an arc. It's a beautiful redemption story. But there is, for any good story, there's turmoil in the middle of it. And you can see it clearly when this guy walks away. He walks away sad because he is rich. And he doesn't want to give up the thing that makes him comfortable. And he doesn't want to walk away from his pride. He doesn't want to walk away from the fact that he kept all the commandments from his youth. He has never told a lie, apparently. He already did. Man, I picked the wrong passage. It's something that gave him a lot of trouble, and we see ourselves in. But Jesus, seeing that he's seeing the sin in him, finally says, how difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter through the kingdom of God. So I want to stop there, and I want to talk about that verse for a second. So that's a really famous verse and pretty brilliant analogy once you get into it. But I think it's easy to misunderstand it. So obviously this guy's rich. Obviously we have pride. That's a given. To transform that pride into faith and laying down at somebody's feet and saying, I'm yours to shape and mold, that's hard. But it's harder considering our sin nature, I think. I talked earlier a bit about how it's hard to do it in America. This is like one problem where America might have it the worst out of anybody. I was talking with this one guy one time. He said, it's so hard to be a Christian in America because it's so easy to be a Christian in America. And I said, what do you mean? Like, he said to me, there's no risk in it. Peter says in his later books in the gospel, consider it a joy to suffer for Christ. I remember Josie said in her sermon one time that diamonds have to go through purifying fire to become diamonds. And that is how your faith grows, through persecution. In America, we don't have that. And it's easy to become rich and prideful and be in a place that's so comfortable that you don't see your need for a savior like this guy didn't. He literally walked up to Jesus and he said, what can I do? And I think that we're in that spot in many ways that maybe we don't even know. And obviously the people in this passage were thinking the same thing. It doesn't say his disciples, but it said those who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This is literally the reason we love Jesus, is because I said earlier, God, following God is not about building up walls. You're not building up a wall against temptation so that somehow you can block him from getting in. What is impossible with man? You will fail. You will fall. You already have. Today, this week, this month, you know what you're failing in. It's something that you can't do by yourself. The kingdom of God is not about building up walls. It is about breaking them down. Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. You don't have to do the work. Jesus loves you so much that he put himself on that cross. Not that one specifically. I mean, maybe. That would be actually kind of cool. I don't know if that'd be cool. Never mind. He put himself on that cross so that you could have life and could be on an adventure where you could see the love of God through the success that he gives you by the power the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And that is something that makes
Jesus worthy of all of our praise, worthy of all of our love. That verse is the reason why we have this building in Green, Ohio, right now, and we're here today. We are here to thank Jesus and to ask for wisdom and guidance from someone, to fall down at somebody's feet and say, fix me. Take me on an adventure. Take me where you want. We wait patiently for your kingdom. That's what Mike says before every sermon, either that or the prayer. He says, we wait patiently for your kingdom, because what is impossible with man, what is impossible in this lifetime for man, is possible with Jesus. And you've got to respond to that in this life. You can't wait. You can't say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that I have power from Jesus. And you cannot just go out, have lunch on Sunday, go to bed, you know, wake up at school. Not at school. Wake up, go to school. I wake up at school. I'm on a roll. Killing them. All right. You don't just wake up, go to school, and live your life like you never even thought about Jesus being able to break down these walls. That's not how it works. The kingdom of God is not about breaking down walls. It's not about building up walls. It's about breaking them down. Your walls are at school. Your walls are in the relationships that you have. You cannot just go and live your life and act like you do not have the power from Jesus to tackle your problems. We do this all the time. I do it too. When I was making this sermon, I was trying so hard to make this the Josh Beacom sermon, to make this Josh Beacom's How to Be Sanctified 101. I was trying so hard through my pride. I had a wall that I was building up. The kingdom of God is not about breaking down walls, or not about, not about building up walls. You have to act like you believe it. And there's ways that you can respond to that. You know, Ryan said something a couple weeks ago that really resonated with me. He said, every day you have a platform to preach the word of Jesus Christ, what he's done for you in your life, and what he's going to do in the future. Every single day, on a public platform, you have that opportunity. Whether you take it is up to you. God will bring his opportunities to you. He just asks that you take them. Every day you have that opportunity, and you have every day an opportunity to act like you believe that Jesus has given you the power to tackle these things. You have an opportunity to break down walls every single day. So I want you to think for a second. I want you to think, what are some things that God has given you the power to do that you're not doing? God has put you here for a reason. You are in Green, Ohio in 2019 for a reason. You go to the school that you go to for a reason. God has a plan for you, and he's going to let you go through exactly what he will, because he has a plan for you, and he wants to show you that he loves you. So I want you to think, how can I profess my belief in Jesus on a public platform? It doesn't have to be street preaching. I know that when I say profess on a public platform, that's scary. I mean, yeah, street preaching is pretty extreme. I actually kind of want to do it, though. Sounds cool. But it doesn't have to be that, because we're all made different. We're all made different for different reasons. I mean, if it was like, if this church was like full of Josh Beacoms, and like we were all like supposed to do the same thing, we'd get nothing done. We have Aaron Hujar, we have Kyle Gowans, we've got Sam, we've got Celeste. We've got so many different people that have different skills and different talents, because God wants to show his glory in creation through the love of those who have been sanctified through Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about, what can I do to show that I believe in Jesus? And I said it again, like in the song that we just sang, it said that God tore the veil. You have nothing to be afraid of. All the power on heaven and earth has been given to Christ Jesus, that you can go out and you can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone who will listen. So I'm going to wrap up here, but I want you to take at least a minute while I pray. I hope God lays something on your heart. I want you to think, there is something God has a plan for you. Ask him for guidance, even if you don't know. If God feels far from you right now, know that he's still with you. You could be walking through a season where you feel like everything is going against you. Know that Jesus has overcome the world. What is impossible with man is possible with God. So let's pray. God, we are so small, it seems sometimes. And you ask us to do such big things. And we're afraid so easily. And God, I pray that we would no more be afraid of what the world is going to throw at us. You've given us the armor of Christ. And you've given us a mission that we may show your love to any who will listen, God. I pray that through this community we would strengthen each other by the love you've given us, God. This is not a singular journey. Thank you for giving us each other. Thank you for giving us community, God. And I pray that we would use it to glorify you in our relationships and encourage each other through building up of words. God, we love you, and I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Would you guys stand and sing with us?